we quickly start by introducing ourselves so that we know who is here. My name is Dorothy Ramodibe. I'm the acting chair for this Committee on Women, Children and People with Disability.
Good morning. My name is Nelson Obatana. I'm the Deputy Secretary for this committee.
Good morning. My name is Per Peterson Maduna. I'm the committee member. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Grace Tsege, a member of this committee.
Good morning, I'm Patty Duncan, member of the committee.
Good morning, I'm Pat Lebenyan Danze, member of the committee.
Good morning, I'm Debbie Bradshaw from the Medical Research Council.
Hi, I'm Nadine Nannan, also from the Medical Research Council.
Good morning, Krista Levendale, researcher to the committee.
Good morning, Kashfa Abrams, researcher to the committee.
Capable hands. We don't want to take much of the time because we don't really have time. We will then interact after your input. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you. Good morning. I would really like to bring greetings from the acting president of the MRC. Dr. Ali Danze sends apologies, he can't join us, but he's delighted that we're able to have an opportunity to talk to your committee. What I'm hoping to do is to give a presentation about making sense of the data on maternal and child mortality, and then to also incorporate some of the research that's been done by the MRC that we hope will address the challenges that we face. And my colleague, I need to acknowledge some of the work has been done not just by me, but by my team, Nadine Nannan, and also collaborators from other places where I've acknowledged their input. I generally prefer to allow people to ask questions as I go. It may not be your format, but please, if you want to interrupt, I'm happy to go back, if that's okay. Completely frozen. Let's try again. There we go. So what I've done in this presentation is to first of all talk about what do we want to measure, and then what data do we have in South Africa, And what do the data say? And then, as I mentioned, to talk about the research being done in the MRC. I'm sure you've been bombarded with a lot of statistics with the release of the MDG report. There's been a lot of attention on the child mortality and the maternal mortality. And you've probably seen lots of graphs, some of which would look a bit like this, which in the case of child mortality, they talk about the under 5 mortality rate, which is the chance of a newborn baby dying before the age of 5, and it's represented out of every 1,000 live births. So what you might see is that the Western Europe countries have a rate of 4.6. Out of every 1,000 babies born, 4.6 die before the age of 5. So that's just about 5. Whereas in Central Africa, 219 die out of every 1,000. So there's a wide range between countries and regions. And the global average is of the order of about 70, the world average. 70 children, 70 babies born die before the age of 5 years. And South Africa is contention about the actual value, but is of the order of the world average. We're about 70 as well. This particular estimate was at 69. There have been very recent figures come out from United Nations. The different agencies have actually worked hard together to try and come up with single estimates. Previously, United Nations agencies were coming up with different values. And in a UNICEF report, they're showing that the global average has gone from 89 down to 60. So since 1990, there has been a decline in all regions, is their estimate. In sub-Saharan Africa, the rates are much higher, and it's also been estimated to decline from 180 to 129. Where does this information come from? How do they get these numbers? And the ideal source of data for monitoring child mortality and other forms of mortality is to have complete vital registration. If all the births and the deaths were to be registered with Home Affairs on time, we would be able to take that information. And together, we also need to have an estimate of the population. We need to have a census, and not only just the census, we need to have a projection from there to give us for each year following, because the census is not covered, not done every year. So we need to have a census, and we need to have mid-year population estimates. You know, those are jobs that South Africa do. But the vital registration of births and deaths is done by Home Affairs and is not complete at the moment. Not all births and deaths are getting registered on time across the country. But if we were to have that, we could get routine estimates of our infant mortality rate and our under 5 mortality rate, and we would be able to do it for sub-areas. We'd be able to do it in the different provinces, we'd be able to do it in the different districts. So that's the ideal that we've got to push towards. And we also need, with that, information on the cause of death. Not just knowing how many babies are dying, but what are they dying from? Is it HIV? Is it injuries? Is it other diarrhea or pneumonia? What is the actual cause so that we can respond to it? In the absence of complete vital registration. We use other methods. We use what we call a full birth history, where we take a sample of women, so either Statistics South Africa or the Department of Health or the HSRC or the MRC goes to a sample of households across the country and interview a representative sample of women. It must represent all women, not just be the ones we want to talk to. And we ask about each of her births. What was the date of the birth? Is the child still alive? If not, how old was the child when it died? So from a full birth history, from a sample of women, we can come up with an estimate of the child mortality. That's quite a detailed survey. So they've also introduced what they call a summary birth history. So instead of talking to a sample of women and getting the full information, we ask her, how many births have you had? And of those, how many are still living? And hopefully you'll find that that summary question has been included in the 2011 census, and they get a summary birth history from all the women in South Africa. So these are what we call indirect methods that we use to estimate the child mortality. And, sorry, just looking at that, there are different approaches which we are using in South Africa because we haven't reached the ideal yet. So we've got the vital registration system that's still getting refurbished, revitalized, and we also are making use of these indirect methods because none of them are quite right. So we've got competing sets of information.
I just want to know, you also made mention that you're also trying to look at what the children are actually dying of. So do you think that there's a, or do you ever think of posing a question to these women, maybe asking them whether they could, you know, what, how they feel, what the reason could be, you know.
In the surveys, when we do a full birth history, we have included a question about some very common conditions like diarrhea. So we ask specifically, did that child die from diarrhea? Because we can explain to women exactly what we mean by diarrhea. But when it comes to sort of more illnesses that really need a doctor's diagnosis, that sort of method won't work. And we also, you know, we have to be as short as possible with the questions that we ask, because although we want a lot of information about our citizens, we can't spend 2 days talking to each one that we sample and ask lots and lots of questions. So we have to balance the information that we ask for with what's realistic. So I hope that answers your question.
Okay, I'll pose another question later.
Okay.
You also mentioned something about the registration by Home Affairs, that if it was done on time, it would enable you to work on those steps.
Right. That would be the ideal.
Have you ever interacted with Home Affairs regarding that? And did you get any response of maybe to say there is a problem or they are working on the problem?
Yeah. You can see my white hair. I've been working on this challenge for quite a number of years, and there have been efforts. So I think around about 1996 to 1998, there were big efforts with the Department of Home Affairs, Health and Statistics South Africa and the MRC working together to try and improve registration. And there's actually been quite a marked improvement. From 1994 to sort of about 2000, registration of deaths has gone up from about 56% coverage to about 90% coverage. So there have been big efforts from government with collaboration. These have collaborations have sort of gone up and down, and they haven't been consistent. I think that the Minister of Health is currently very committed to trying to connect up again, and he's setting up an advisory committee on specifically the statistics and what needs to be done. They've just had their very first meeting, so it's sort of early days. But there are continuous attempts to try and improve registration. And I don't have the statistics with me, but birth registration has improved incredibly in the last few years. Yeah.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think from the point of Home Affairs now, with the new bill which will be coming up, the birth of the child should be registered from the first day the child is born. And I think it's 31 days. So I think in that way things will be much better afterwards. This is how I feel now. And it should be quicker on your side.
On our side, yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, to finish that, there are a lot of efforts, but I think they can be encouraged and pushed along.
That's a quick one. When collecting your data, do you take into consideration the challenge of people who still live in abject poverty in rural areas, whereby most of them still deliver at their home? They don't even go to hospital, they still deliver at home. And those, according to my understanding, I think those are the people who are most affected by child mortality, and those children are most likely to die even maybe before within the first 3 months. Do you take that into consideration?
I think you're quite correct, and that's why it's important to do these other methods where we actually do a sample and we select from all living conditions and we go and visit those women who are very poor as well as, you know, across the board. So in a sample approach or a census approach, all the women are included. But I agree with you. I think that the vital registration system, we've been able to increase the coverage of vital registration, but who we're missing are going to be the poor and people in deep rural areas. And when we try and put the data together and make sense of it, we need to remember that there are biases in the data that we've got. So, can I move on? Yeah? Okay. The data that comes from Statistics South Africa, here we've just taken it straight as it's reported. So Statistics South Africa gets the information from Home Affairs. The deaths are registered with Home Affairs. The papers, actual papers, are sent across to Statistics South Africa, and they code the information, the cause of death in particular, but also the geography they code, and then they compile the statistics. So it's data coming from Statistics South Africa. And the under 5 is in green. The actual data is suggesting that the registered death went from 30 per thousand up to 60 per thousand, and then in 2007 a slight downward trend. Now, if you remember that first slide I showed you, the estimate that it was about 69, 70, so even here, it was for 2005, Statistics South Africa information seems to be on the low side. And if we go further back in time, it was very much on the low side when we compare it with other estimates. So it's really difficult to interpret this trend. The death registration we know is not complete, and we know that it's been improving. So this rapid increase in child mortality that the data shows, how much of it is improved registration, and how much is it that mortality rates have changed? The problem we have is that the methods that we use to estimate completeness for mortality in general work for the adults. They don't work for children. The demographic techniques, so it's been a big challenge for us to try and understand what's been happening here. The methodologies are not available. But this is what the StatsSA data shows, that there are rising numbers of child death, but it's difficult to interpret it. The other source from the survey data that we have is the Demographic and Health Survey is a national household survey from a sample of households chosen to represent the country. And there have been three in the country so far. The first one was pre-94, and it was sort of around 1990, and it could give estimates going backwards. And it was showing a declining rate of child mortality. The next survey, 1998, the Demographic and Health Survey for that year, showed that it was getting very similar results, but that the decline had reversed, and there was, in the early 1990s, a starting to increase. And then the next survey that was done in 2003, you can see that we have problems because it's not concurring with what the earlier study said. And in fact, we found that there were problems with the fieldwork, and the data quality of this last survey was a problem. So unfortunately, our knowledge of the child mortality rate from the surveys is a bit depleted, because our most recent one is quite old, 2003, and it has data quality problems that are easy to see. And when we look, we spent a fair amount of time looking at the data, you can really see that there were problems in the field. So the surveys do tell us that child mortality declined to about the early 1990s, but that the current levels remain very uncertain. And then the other piece of information I mentioned was the summary birth history, which was, in terms of child mortality, an easier way to get information from the census and from the community survey that was run by Stats South Africa. In 2007, it was an enormous household survey. And instead of asking each woman all the details about her children, it asked how many children in total and how many are still alive. And then it applies some models to estimate from there what the under 5 mortality rate is. And surprising to us, but the results were showing that since about 1998 onwards, the level of child mortality has been pretty stable, the under 5 mortality. So StatsSA was showing this rise, but we weren't sure how much. And the DHS sort of showed that it had turned, and by 1998 it seems to have reached a level and kept fairly stable. And this is our best piece of data that we've got at the moment for South Africa, the empirical data. This sudden sort of shooting up, we interpret as there was a cholera outbreak in end of 98, 99. And so it sort of suddenly shot up rather than going smoothly up at that point. It's putting our estimate of the under 5 mortality at about 72, 75, you know, in that region, 70 to 75 per 1,000. And that it's been fairly level. So we've got these pieces of information. How do we assess, you know, UNICEF has come up with estimates and models. How do they go about assessing the trends in child mortality? Well, for every country, they need to, and we need to do it ourselves, is identify all the nationally representative data. Then we have to go through it very systematically and assess the quality. Are there sampling errors? If you've drawn a sample, did you manage to get to those poor and hard-to-reach communities? Are there omissions of deaths? Because often, if you don't sit and talk carefully to your respondent, you gloss over and you sort of, oh, I don't want to talk about that baby that died, and she'll just gloss over it. So you really have to establish careful rapport with the respondent. Misreporting of a child's age, the further away from it, the more you forget that it wasn't 2 months, it was 3 months old, and so on. So we have to look at the data very carefully and assess the quality and whether there's bias. And once we've done that, we need to fit some sort of line. So we would have different points once we've adjusted for it, and we fit some regression line to that. And in our setting, we often have values up to a certain point, but everybody wants data now. So we need to project, and we need to allow for big change that may be going on. And in our case, that has been HIV. And we when we do some sort of projection, we need to adjust for the impact of HIV, which we can usually do because South Africa's got very good data on the prevalence of HIV amongst pregnant women. We've done an annual survey, so we know how many pregnant mums or women are HIV positive, and we can work out the proportion of babies that may become infected and what might happen.
Yes, I just want to go back to slide the full birth history data. And you were now talking about sample errors. I am also very concerned about the fact that we in the country do have quite a number of research institutions and all of it, and maybe everybody's using their own models and there's different outcomes and things like that. So, let alone that, I would like to therefore ask, is it good to, you know, can one actually compare 1990, the decline there was after 1990, because was the same sample, for instance, used? And that is another concern. I mean, you know, one usually compare apples with apples to get a, you know, an outcome. So can we, in fact, compare 1990 with the rest of the surveys using the same sample? If not, then what is it that we have to look at? Because again, we want to get to ensure that we don't sit with a child mortality high rate.
This survey that was done before 1994, it was done in
around 1990. It was 14 different surveys.
Mm.
One was done in each of the homelands, and data was collected separately. And the information has been pooled on the basis of the weight that each of the homelands, so the population size of each of those surveys, it's been pooled. So I think you're right to have a bit of a question about whether that pooling has been correct. I think we were very encouraged to sort of see this overlap, and that it was, you know, very consistent with the next survey. So we didn't, if we'd seen it very different, we would have gone back and looked at the way it was pooled. But we haven't had to do that. But I think you're right to raise a question. I don't know how else you could...
I think what's important is if a survey is nationally representative, like the demographic and health surveys are, I think your issue is very much taken care of. But that sort of survey is very different to, for example, if the University of Stellenbosch goes out to, you know, the area of Vanguard and tries to sample about deaths in that area. That's just representative of that area. I think if the sample is nationally representative, I think it usually is. I think we can say that the sample is representative of everybody in the country.
Provided that the quality of the survey, provided it's got integrity, the survey, then if it's nationally representative, that's fine. A small-scale study that's done in one local area, we shouldn't try and compare with the national.
That is the main
point. Ah, okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. My main point is just that, you know, very often I feel that when one starts to compare things, it has to be exactly the same thing that we compare. Otherwise, we're not going to get the result that is going to ensure that we improve on why we do the research. In this case, it is about child mortality, and it is about you know, getting the full birth history data correct, and all of those things. So thank you very much. Thank you.
So I'm
thinking
about the
You propose this process that we can ask so that as you go, issues of concern are addressed. The other one, I don't know if you are going to do this at the end. You said you were going to explain why. We can't wait until we don't want to lose different outcomes of these statistics as you go. I wish when you say, at this point in time, this was the result of the survey, you could at the same time say these were the reasons, and also this is how we have tried to remedy the situation, so that it all links up. We can see as South Africa whether in the last 10 years we've managed this. I mean, this thing of child mortality have always been reported about Africa, and the big question is, will it remain what it is, or as Africa develops, when it develops, this will come down? So we just want that analysis that help us ultimately solve the problem, because this is not for the sake, it's not research for the sake of research, it is meant to achieve something, to deal with human problem and improve it. And if you could carry that through so that at the end we feel enriched in terms of being empowered to deal with the problem of child mortality. Some of the research has come out and you get rebuffed, but they just leave the problem as it. They tell us about the problem and it's just left like that. You don't feel you really tackling the problem and trying to solve it.
Thank you.
I share your concern. You know, as a statistician, it's very frustrating to see that there's a problem and we're not getting rid of it. But I do hope in the presentation to share with you a little bit of what the MRC work shows and advises.
Okay.
So I've shown you the different ways in which we get data, and I've told you that the UN and each country needs to assess their different sets of data and assess the quality and the bias in that, and then try to develop a smooth trend from that. And what we've done here is shown that because there's not a lot of data for South Africa, and because it's saying different things, we have different analysts coming up with different values. The United Nations have had two different sets of models showing the blue line that goes up to 69, but their more recent one, they've, for whatever reason, they felt in 1990 it was actually a little bit lower. It peaked in 2000 and then came down. So they've had a re-look at it and they've come up with a different set of estimates. The AFSA model, the South African Actuarial Society, they're currently reworking their model. The latest one that is available is the AFSA 2003, and it projected that there would be a very high rise up to 2000 and then starting to come down to 76. These modelers have been looking at the new data coming out and they're revising down that estimate. Now that there is more data, they will come more in line with the green line that I'm showing from the community survey. So there basically is a lot of uncertainty. We haven't got the precise measurement. But it's quite clear that by 2005, the rates were either going up or one could say were stagnant. We were not making progress towards the MDG. I think it's unambiguous. Whatever the rate is, it's been either level or gone up. The MDG report for South Africa has got an implausible level of the under 5 child mortality. It's put it at 104. It put it at 104 for the year 2007. I'm not quite sure where they got that figure from. And it doesn't fit in with, you know, it's putting it right up here, and that's not what our data is telling us. So I'm a little bit upset about the value that we are reporting as with under 5 mortality. We attempted through the Department of Health to give some feedback into this process because there was wide consultation, but we were obviously not effective. Our assessment is that the child mortality rate is more like 75 from our reading of the data set, and that 104 is implausible. So I think to get on to the question about what needs to be done beyond the statistics, it's important for us to look at what are the causes of death, what is it that's actually killing the babies. And I'm not sure if you've had a presentation from the child gauge report, there's a chapter in the front on the health of children, and we worked with them in developing our best estimate of the cause of death profile. Now, I say estimate because not all the deaths are registered, so we have to account for those that are not registered. But of those that are registered, we're not happy with the quality of information that doctors are putting on the death certificate. They're not putting full information. So what we're finding, I'm thinking more of adults, I'm less familiar with the children, but what we're finding is an immediate cause of death not giving us the full underlying cause. And it's that underlying cause that we need to tackle when we have an intervention. So if it's HIV, for example, is the underlying cause, what doctors tend to write is that it was meningitis, or it was pneumonia, or it was TB. They're very reluctant to write the actual cause. And yet it's that actual cause that we need the information about to tackle that cause, to reduce the mortality. But we find that we get a lot of what we call ill-defined natural, and that's where it's just certified that this person has died from a natural cause, but no detail is given, no medical detail is given. So we've got quite a bit of work to do in training the medical doctors in South Africa how to complete the death certificate. And just for information, the Western Cape Province Department of Health has initiated a project, and Statistics South Africa is trying to set up a project for early next year with the Department of Health to train doctors nationally.
So again, you mentioned on the MDG report for South Africa, which is quite implausible, given the fact that they put 104 instead of 104. Now, my question is, who is ultimately responsible to ensure we have accurate, you know, and reliable statistics to monitor child mortality and maternal mortality? Given the fact that, you know, this report was presented internationally.
Who is responsible? I think it's the statistician general is responsible, but I think he's got a very tough task because there's little data. The vital registration is not adequate yet, and there's been no survey with a full birth history. There's been no DHS since 2003, and that one didn't work too well. So he's in a very difficult position. He's got very little reliable data to work with, but we think maybe he could have done a better job with estimating from what he did have.
Perhaps the consultation process in producing that report wasn't as wise as it should have been.
But I think ultimately it's Statistics South Africa's responsibility.
Just to carry on with the discussion, You know that the way you're reporting it, that if doctors write you pneumonia and so on and so forth, that might not be enough. But maybe that also guide us. These days we know if it is TB, those type of things, there's a high likelihood that it is AIDS. But what interests me even more is that we need to, in South Africa, compare and say, okay, let's say officially AIDS started 1990. Look at 1990 and what is happening now. And actually, before 1990, say, what was the immortality rate of children's immortality rate? Because somehow we've got to pin our finger on it and say, this is what is causing the death of children. Before AIDS, it used to be this and that. Now after AIDS, I mean, it must make sense. I'm just wary of all the money that we spend in research, and if ultimately that research can help us, you know, get to the bottom of the problem and solve our problem. So if it is AIDS, it's fine, but before AIDS, what was it? Because this problem has been hanging out there in Africa for a long, long time. So that we are able to compare, contrast, and get to the root of the problem with the hope of solving it. Otherwise, each year you'll come, give us reports, and that is what it is. The next day, another report of the research, but where are we getting to with all this research? Thanks. But maybe you can just comment about what it was that was considered as before AIDS, because we've always had this problem in Africa.
Okay. Sure. So, I think, even if I'm not answering, but I think part of your response actually assists us. Mm. Because we want to know, you know, why poor quality of data, you know. And you have said that part of the problem may be lack of broad consultation. And I think as parliamentarians, it is our duty to raise that concern, you know, so that we overcome that in future.
Okay, thank you. And I mean, to carry on, what is it that's killing our babies, and how does that differ from the rest of Africa, maybe, or pre-AIDS era? The graph, the figure is not showing very well, but it's about a third, 35% of the deaths we estimated are due to HIV/AIDS. Now, I say estimated because we've had to put together different data, including our modeling estimates. A third of it is from HIV, but a third is the sort of traditional childhood problems like diarrhea and pneumonia and other infections, and then another just under a third, 30%, are the very early deaths, the newborns, the neonatal deaths. So the neonatal death is an indication of needing to reinforce our health care during childbirth, that the labor wards and availability of health care for young newborns is there, and that it's good, the resus in the ward. But the fact that a third of it is the typical childhood illnesses is telling us about diarrhea and pneumonia that's coming from probably poor living conditions and not enough water and nutrition. I'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later. But we've got, on top of those traditional things, we've got the impact of HIV. So it's a multiple set of factors. And when we compare that with the global situation, what's very different is the HIV. So the global causes of death for all children, only 2% of under 5 deaths are due to HIV, where in South Africa we're at about 35%. We don't have malaria. In the rest of Africa, malaria is a big issue for childhood mortality, but we have limited parts of the country affected by malaria, and we've got an extremely good malaria control program. So malaria doesn't feature as a problem for us, unlike the rest of the world. But the pneumonia and diarrhea are the typical childhood illnesses that we do have, as well as the HIV. And this challenge of saving babies, the young, vulnerable babies at the time of birth, really needs a strong healthcare intervention. So what I was planning to do was to then switch to maternal mortality, the statistics and what do they tell us, and then tell you about research that we've spoken about. So I hope that will flow for you. Just a reminder for maternal mortality, what we use to measure that is an indicator called the maternal mortality ratio, the MMR, which is the number of maternal deaths relative to the number of live births. So it's number of deaths divided by the number of births multiplied by 100,000. So a maternal mortality rate of about 150 is quite high, 150 deaths per 100,000 live births, but in the UK or in the very well-developed countries, that level is down at 10, 6 per 100,000. So, you know, the order of magnitude, we've got a long way to go to get it down to really low levels. The problem with statistics for maternal mortality is that it's very difficult to get the full picture. And what we tend to find quite easily, or our first level, is the central figure, the maternal deaths that occur in hospitals, in the labor ward, and the obstetric units. We have a system of confidential inquiry. Any death that occurs there gets reported to the Department of Health and they compile statistics. So those tend to get noticed. But then there are maternal deaths that occur in other wards. If a woman is pregnant, she delivers her baby, she goes home, she immediately becomes sick. She's not going to go back to the labor ward. She goes to the general ward in the hospital. And it's very soon after the pregnancy, but that's sort of forgotten. They're dealing with the crisis, and she dies. They forget that it was a maternal death. So it gets lost into the statistics. I don't think we're doing very well with connecting the maternal deaths from the private sector. The maternal mortality ratio is usually a lot lower in the private sector, but we're not getting the statistics. But then what about the women who are dying out in the community, who go home, they've delivered, they go home, and they become ill, they don't get back to the hospital, and they die from that maternal cause. And then there's a bigger definition of pregnancy-related death, so sort of the fairly early pregnancy or late pregnancy, those deaths often just don't get to the labor ward and don't get counted. So there's a lot of loss of information when one's trying to measure maternal mortality. And it's not just for South Africa, it's even in the most developed countries are struggling with this issue. The ideal data systems, well, again, we need our vital registration system. what's been important is there's an added question on the death certificate where the doctors need to specify whether, if a woman was deceased, whether she was pregnant or had delivered within 42 days. So having that extra question has been quite useful for finding the maternal related deaths. But our problem is that we still don't have complete registration, and our quality of the cause of death information, again, is needed, you know, it impacts on maternal mortality. It's really important to have the health facility audit, the confidential inquiry that I spoke about, that the Department of Health set up in about 1998. Each death that occurs in the hospital needs to be reviewed, whether the causes were preventable or not. The challenge here is that it needs to extend beyond the labor wards, and it needs to include the private sector information. And my conclusion, having looked at the systems in other countries, is we actually need to start linking data. So we need to find a way to be able to take the confidential inquiry from the health system and link it to the vital registration and make sure that we're counting each and every maternal death. And I think if we link the data, we'll find we've got some from one system and some from the other system that we could bring together. So that would be the ideal system. But in the absence of the ideal system, countries have been trying to include questions in the census, asking each household, was there a death in the last year? And if there was a death, they ask whether it was, you know, how old the person was and the gender of the person. If it was a woman of childbearing age, they specifically ask whether she was pregnant or had just had a baby. The methodology for analyzing this is showing that there is a bit of a bias in this data, and I'll show you the figures. So one needs to be a little bit careful about the method. The other approach that gets used is in the demographic and health survey. When we interview women, we also ask her about her sisters, because she often knows very well about her sisters, and she can tell us, yes, her sister died at age 40, she was pregnant. It's no good asking the men, because they don't seem to know this information too well about their sisters. Yeah, she died, I don't know if she was pregnant. So the sibling method is used for sisters, or it used to be called the sisterhood. And in the case of South Africa, when we put all the data together that we have from these different methods, when we put the data together, we find that we've got a whole range of estimates. Is there a question?
I just want to ask that, yeah, just taking you back a little bit, the maternal deaths in labor wards, what do you think the cause is? Is it because maybe the carelessness of doctors and nurses, probably sometimes? I don't know, it's just a question, because why should it be there when the patient is already in hospital?
I'm not the right person. I don't work that closely with health services to know that answer. But I do understand that, you know, people feel there should be more training, and the supervision of clinical staff could be strengthened. So I don't know that I would call it carelessness, but I do hear people feeling that we really must spend more time supervising and training staff. statistics are really problematic. What we have at the bottom are the routine data. The green triangle is showing what the confidential inquiry is picking up, and it's shown that it's gone up to a level of about 120 maternal deaths per 100,000 births. The red line is coming from Vital Statistics with that question about pregnancy, and it's going up to about 210. Now, remember we said that the vital statistics are not fully registered, and there's also some ill-defined conditions. So we would really think that that is an underestimate of the maternal mortality. But you'll see there's points up at the top. The highest one at 800 in the year 2000, that was using the census data, deaths in the household in the last year, and was it related to pregnancy or maternity. So it comes up with an extremely high value to use these survey and census methods. All those points at the top are from surveys and census. And it's our assessment that those are not correct. They're overstating the extent of maternal mortality. The blue line is what the UN models, their estimate, and they took it up to 400 per 100,000 in the year 2005. We've also done a model estimate, and we don't take it as high as that. Our estimate for 2006 would be about 300 per 100,000. So we've looked at these trends at the bottom. We know they're too low, but with our adjustment, we would take it up to about 300 per 100,000. But again, I think the point is that our data systems are not solid, and we have to accept this uncertainty. But what is quite clear is that there has been this increase. The 1998 Demographic and Health Survey, that triangle on the left-hand side, had the level at 150 per 100,000, and we think we've gone up to 300. When we look at the causes, we see that there's a big chunk, 40% of those maternal deaths from the confidential inquiry are coming from infections that the pregnancy aggravates and causes the death. So a lot of that increase, we think, is related to HIV. Which is showing up as a maternal death. It's the most common infection, so our increase has, we think, largely been coming from there. But given the paucity of the data, it's actually quite difficult to say definitely there was no increase in the other causes or it's gone down. Our systems are not sensitive enough to indicate that. But we are quite clear that it's going in the wrong direction in terms of the MDGs. First point is that I think there's an urgent need to strengthen the health information system so that we can monitor this. We need to continue our efforts to improve vital statistics. I think there's an urgent need to undertake a national household survey. The 2003 Demographic and Health Survey is long past, and there should be another such survey. We need to make sure that it's good quality. I think that the health facility audit, so it's there for the maternal deaths, the confidential inquiry. It's also partly there for babies. So the some facilities have a perinatal inquiry and other facilities have a child death inquiry. I think those audits need to be extended to all our hospitals. But what's important is that there needs to be a willingness. I think if the minister were to say every hospital must do it, we're going to get a bad system. But if we can encourage hospitals, we need to find incentives for hospitals to do the facility audit. But each facility should be monitoring what's happening in its facility, and I think that's very important. And then we need to go a step further back and say, well, what are the programs that should be in place? PMTC, Prevention of Mother to Child, have we got information systems that are going to monitor those programs? So, you know, I think we've got a lot of work to do on improving the health information system. I think there is a lot going on, but I think it needs encouragement and needs to be prioritized. So I'm wanting to leave the data and sort of share a little bit about what we think comes from the research, not by my unit, but by the MRC, about improving the situation. Is that, are we ready to move on?
Yes, I think that will be very much appreciated by members, because I think this is what they want
to know. What they really want to know. I've got copies of a report we put out last year called Every Death Counts, which was compiling what we know about maternal and child mortality. So I'll leave this for committee members. But then moving on to the MRC, Dr. Dunsay reported to the other portfolio committee on health on the 27th of October with copies of our annual report. And I'm picking out some of the pieces that I think are relevant to your committee and maybe to let you know a little bit more about the MRC. We take it very seriously that the Department of Health strategic plan is the 10-point plan includes strengthening research and development, which we're very glad to have. But with his deliverables, there's four key areas, and that's increasing life expectancy. So the child mortality is a crucial aspect of it. Decreasing maternal and child mortality, combating HIV and AIDS, and decreasing the burden of TB, and improving the effectiveness of the health service. And the MRC does both intramural research and it supports research done by the universities. We sponsor or fund research units that may be based in the MRC or else in different universities at the medical schools. And we've got 40 at the moment. All of them are fairly small units, but some of them deal with maternal child health. The HIV prevention unit, the diarrheal pathogens research unit, the respiratory and meningeal pathogens research unit. Both those two have been involved in vaccine development. The diarrheal one was the rotavirus vaccine that will hopefully prevent some of the diarrhea deaths in children, not all, but some. And the pneumococcal vaccine that's just been introduced. And both those units were involved in testing for those vaccines. And then in the public health arena, there's the unit that I head, which is more on the statistical side. We have a Cochrane Center that specializes in systematic review, they take a particular important question and then they identify all the research that's been done on that, and they evaluate it very carefully and develop a summary of that information. The Health Policy Research Unit, Health Systems Research Unit, and the Rural Health Research Units are also, I'll tell you a little bit more about their work, and there's a Maternal and Infant Healthcare Strategies Research Unit based at the University of Pretoria. So there are quite a few units that do work in the area of maternal child health. I think I told you that HIV is an important factor, so our HIV prevention research unit, you probably know more about it than I do, has been doing work on microbicides. Mm-hmm. A woman-initiated method that hopefully we'll find a way to create a barrier against infection. Just as an example of the Cochrane Review, they worked with the WHO on guidelines for antiretroviral therapy for adults and adolescents, so reviewing all the studies that have been done. So it's very systematic evaluation of the evidence. The pneumonia vaccine, our unit was involved in a 5-year vaccine trial conducted in Soweto that showed that the vaccine would reduce the burden of the pneumonias in children, even effective in HIV children, and it's become part of the program. And this report that I mentioned was a collaboration between several units, the Maternal and Infant Healthcare Strategies, that introduced the facility audit, looking at the deaths and what was preventable in each case, our health systems unit and ourselves. And then what I want to talk a little bit more in detail is last year the MRC was involved in a series of articles produced in The Lancet where we had a look at the health system from different angles and what can we bring to the minister really and say, these are things that we think you can do. Of course, it's a tough task that he's got. We're not a healthy country. And so the health system has got a huge burden on it. And so it's really important that he finds the strategic things to do that will make a difference. Paper 2 is called Saving the Lives of South Africa's Mothers, Babies and Children, Can the Health System Deliver? And it was really a modeling exercise. In the paper, Mickey Chopra was the first author, he was head of our health systems research unit, but we identified that there are a lot of programs that the health service has already identified as part of their policy, but they're not talking to each other. The communication, the continuum of care from before a woman falls pregnant right through to her pregnancy and childbirth and her child's health care, she's going to different places and she's getting lost in the system. So the continuity of care is a major issue. And we looked at the programs that are provided at primary care level in this row, from reproductive health services through to child care, and they need to go up to the support services in district hospitals, the specialist services, but it also needs to go down into community outreach and the support for breastfeeding, for example. In South Africa, the latest data we have is that 8% of mums exclusively breastfeed babies in their first 3 months of life. And it's just not high enough. It's something that we could change. It's been very confusing for us because of the HIV problem, but there is now a clear guideline. Mothers should be given the choice, and when they make a choice, they should be supported. And it's something that we really need to have the community outreach structures to be able to do that.
Are these vaccines available in the public hospitals? Pneumonia, rotavirus, meningitis. Are they available at public hospitals?
In the primary care clinic, the pneumococcal was introduced previously, but the rotavirus is in the process of being introduced. Yes. Yeah.
Because someone saying that, you know, she had to pay 1,000 for the what was this?
The pneumococcal one.
1,000 rand. Yeah.
So I've got a child, a 3-year-old, and altogether those things, the Prevnar, the rotavirus, all the things, added up to about 1,000 rand to get all of those immunizations for him, because they weren't yet part of the
program.
I think they are now becoming,
yeah.
But in the past 2 years they haven't been part of the government program.
Yeah, it's certainly children in 2007-08 wouldn't have got, but as I understand it, they yeah. We can check that up for you, but yeah.
Can I just give the 8% you made mention of, 8% mothers that breastfeed, 8% out of
100.
Out of 100.
Yeah. That's exclusive breastfeeding. What the research has shown is that mixed breastfeeding with formula feeding is a very bad combination. It's either the one or the other.
Yeah.
Combination is not good. Not good. Yeah. Without going into too much detail, as I said, this article was based on the modeling. They worked out if they were to do certain things, how much would it cost? And without going into full detail about it, the key message from the article is that HIV/AIDS and poor implementation of the existing packages of care are the main reasons. So it's a combination of HIV hitting us, but we think that those programs that we've identified as key policy are not being implemented as well as they should be. But what was interesting from their work was that if we were to achieve high coverage of these programs, we really could get on track to MDGs, but it would cost some money. It's not, you know, as Chantal has said, these things do cost money. So they're arguing that there should be an increase in expenditure. They felt that it wasn't a big one, 2.4%. And they're also saying that the leadership and accountability mechanism for high quality care need to be put in place. So it's sort of hospital leadership and the care and district management leadership are issues. They give some quite stunning numbers. If we could get these programs in place and working properly, we could really bring down the child mortality. Maybe if one looks at these graphs in figure A, that's showing the under 5 mortality, which we were saying was fairly level in the last few years. If you get these programs into place, they're arguing that you can drop the child mortality. So PMTC is a key program, but also baby care at time of delivery, breastfeeding, and support in the community. What was interesting from the work they've done is for many years, one's not been able to change the mortality of the newborn babies, but they're showing there are affordable things that can be done with the antenatal care providing folate to pregnant women. The key thing here, though, is the care given during childbirth, making that quality care and making it, you know, women do get to the hospital, but making it quality care is important. I think to come back to the child gauge, in the first chapter I was involved with Professor Saunders, we arguing that it's not just health care that will make the difference to child health. There are a whole lot of social determinants, if you look at the top, that affect the outcomes of child health. Poverty, maternal education is fundamental. Women being educated is so important for the outcome of her children. Heavy and poorly paid work of women and the basic inequalities we've got in our society, race and gender, those lead to a whole set of exposures on one hand, poor diet, poor nutrition, poor sanitation, and so on, as well as within each child, impaired immunity. Low birth weight leaves that child impaired, undernutrition, HIV, other parasites, worms, and so on, other infections. So together, the exposures in the poor communities and the impaired immunity are the two things we need to work at. And yes, the healthcare system needs to play a role, but there have to be higher level intersectoral actions that address those social inequalities and social determinants. So we can't do the one without doing the other. And I think I need to say thank you for listening. It's been a long, heavy session for you. I hope that it's been helpful.
Thank you very much. You could see, you know, that members were really listening very carefully because, you know, this is part of their passion as women. And this is all they wanted to hear. And I'm sure even after interacting with you, I have picked up a lot of questions that I think we need to raise with the health and not with you. So we'll pick them and then I think we'll make some more time also to invite her so that we can be able to ask a lot of questions coming from ourselves, because one of them that I picked step is that, you know, I think also one of the causes is that sometimes we tend to have inexperienced, you know, staff to deal with some of these, matters, you know, taking into account that even the services that are being rendered by the present nurses, you know, the same services that we actually know, you know, taking from their experience, you know, even the training. Not like, but it's not your department. We will engage the health on that one. Thanks, members. I'm sure you want to interject.
Thank you, Chair. I think I just have a last comment and maybe a question. And I'm quite concerned about this. You were saying that the maternal deaths from private sector, that you do have a problem in getting information. Did I understand you correct? And then what do you do with regard to that? Because the private sector still also deal, they're private, but they still deal with the people of South Africa. So it is important to know what role they play. And if there's anything that we as parliamentarians can do to assist, because I think this is something, Chairperson, that we will have to raise, that private sector withhold information to institutions that have to do the research, which will enable us to do better, roll out better programs, especially if I look at the last page, where we take note of the determinants, other than just from a medical point of view. So it is really a great concern because they do serve quite a number of people, not necessarily the rich, your middle class, your average people, and I think I would like to hear your comments on that. And just overall, you see, the reason why I asked you earlier on about my first question about the cause of death is actually to get to your last page, is domestic violence, for instance. You know, domestic violence is also, I think, something that has to be taken in consideration because the fights and you know, between male and female mothers and can also bring a lot of damage to a pregnant woman. We have to look at the causes because it is the causes that we have to treat. It's really where government and us as parliamentarians have to play a very, very important role to ensure that your interventions that you highlight here, that we see that it actually gets to the departments, because it is not only the Department of Health that plays a role. It is all 36, 37 departments. The socioeconomic rights is not properly addressed. So thank you very much, Chairperson. I want to say thank you to Debbie and Chantal for the presentation. I also have a long standing with MRC. I value your work greatly, especially in the rural areas. And I would make contact with you should I need any more information. Thank you, Chair.
Any other comments from members or questions? So that will be the last one. Okay.
I wouldn't put it as the private sector is withholding information. I think my concern is that the Department of Health, which really has oversight for everybody, is not collecting the information. I don't think they've created the right channel to collect that information. So it's almost at the province level, I would like to be sure that...
At province level.
Yeah, at province level.
Okay.
Yeah, that the department is making sure that it's collecting the maternal death information from the private sector. I think you may find that some provinces are doing better than others, but I don't think that the private sector is withholding it.
Okay.
It's more that the channel is not in place.
Yeah. It was, if I can just, it was very important because what I heard was, it sounded as if, because you, I put your words on getting the info, you know, from them. So I just want to sit right to what is the situation. So thank you.
And then on your other point, thank you for bringing it up. In preparing this, I didn't put gender and health as one of the units that would be related to maternal and child. The gender and health unit at the MRC, I think, has done some really important work on gender-based violence. And they're repeating a study, I think their first one was in about the year 2000, where they had a look at murders of women and identified the high proportion of those murders being done by an intimate partner. So it's part of this violence within relationships. And they're busy repeating that study to see if there's been any change. And I need to ask them if they've got information about whether she was pregnant, because I don't know that they collected that at the time. I don't think so. I don't think so. So it's good that you alert me, but Dr. Rachel Jukes, I think, has done some really valuable, and Dr. Naima Abrams, sort of really good work in that area.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much once more. I want to thank you for the valuable information that you actually parted with us. You know, it was quite an insight for some of us to hear what is, you know, the status. And also having mentioned on the part of the MDGs, that's why I'm very interested, because recently there was a report that was, you know, presented internationally, and it actually shows if there is no broad consultation, that the data will always be inaccurate, not adequate, because, you know, there was no, you know, wide consultation. And I'm not saying it's coming from you, because we are witnesses to bear witness, testimony to that. Then one will also be interested really in future to hear how much work is done in terms of rural areas, you know, apart from the overall work that is being done, because those are the ones who are mostly disadvantaged. And most of the time, you know, they don't have resources that we all have, you know, in the urban area. So it will be very interesting to see, you know, as to how much is, you know, happening there in the rural area. And then without wasting any more time, thank you very much. And also wish to thank members for their contribution. And thank you so much. The meeting is adjourned, but I would like to request members to remain just for 5 minutes or less. Thank you.
Or maybe you must just ask of the assistant and
yes.
We need one from the company in all
for this one,
this one in Cape Town. Play in the room for the same. What is the date? These are part of international please, they can follow up. This one, I can always attend this one. This one, I was in the same. This one, I was in the same. But this one, so we need only one now. Members, we have these few invitations. Can we allow our committee secretary just to read them out to you?
There's one from the World Social Security Forum. It's from the Social Development Department. There's going to be a conference which is going to be here in Cape Town from the 29th of November to the 4th of December, and they need the three reps from each committee. These committees are social development, finance, health, international relations, labor, transport, and our committee. So they need from each committee three members to attend.
So we need two from A and C and one from A and B.
From the 29th of November to the 4th of December.
Who will be available? Who can come? Okay. And who else?
Oh, members. Okay,
I will go with Pell and then one from your side.
Can I read it? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's an invite from the Department of Social Development. They are going to have a conference on, it's an invitation to the World Social Security Forum that's going to be held here in Cape Town at the ICC from the 29th of November to the 4th of December. Cape Town International Convention Center.
From the 29th of November.
Yes.
It's Monday.
Mm.
Up to
the 4th of December.
Up to Saturday.
Yeah.
It starts on Monday up to
Monday and Tuesday.
Pearl will be, will attend.
But there's another one in Joburg. Okay. CGE also has got a hearing on gender transformation in the workplace from the 7th to the 8th of December, 2 days. But they haven't said how many members they would love.
And we also made that.
Yeah, I did both of them.
7th and 8th, no?
Of year.
Not gonna attend a new job. And everything
job, yeah.
7 and 8.
Constitutional Court Auditorium.
Constitutional Hill.
Yeah, Constitutional Hill. I'll find out from them. They're not.
Can I ask you to make copies for us, please, and put them in the pigeonhole?
Yeah. I did.
You did?
But I can, yeah.
Okay, I'll ask for my email.
Yeah.
Office and find it.
Yes. I can do it again.
Okay. And then the workshop?
The last one is the workshop. I don't know if members remember the 100 Ball Foundation. Once met with us, they wanted to organize a workshop for us on gender responsive budget principles and analysis. So that workshop is going to be held on the 23rd of November, which will be a committee week on Tuesday, the whole day.
One
day, yes. Yes, it's going to be held here in townhouse, just at the back of.
Didn't I say that they're going to choose a venue?
Wasn't it supposed to be
a two-day
station where we could... I think they are... The person who's going to conduct the workshop is available only for a day. So
and then the other day, because I remember we broke it into 2 days. When did we say the other one was?
To contribute to the interrogation of the annual report.
Mm.
That was the main reason why they, now, I mean, I have been wondering, because we've gone through,
It's on Tuesday.
On Tuesday, yes. Tuesday. I can suggest to her that we have it on Monday and Tuesday.
Not Monday.
Hmm?
When do you have it? Because they are available on the
23rd so
that's
far.
That's why I was saying Monday.
It would be a Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah, the whole day. Up until 4:30.
But it's a 2-day workshop, members. I was trying to make things easy. I know it's not easy to come here Monday because of what it's going to work. But once a while, I think we can really sacrifice so that we get over with this workshop. Because if we have it on Tuesday, on the 23rd, it means we're still going to have it on another day. Is it?
No. So far, it's only 1 day.
Oh, it's only
one day.
I think
they say something about
half day. Yes.
Oh. So it's 1 day.
It's 1 day.
I misunderstood.
No, it's
1 day.
No. When on the 23rd, there's no more.
Oh, no,
okay.
Committee.
I must check with the posters. for the select committee. I'll check with Mabel.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, members.
Thank you.
See you next week. If you are still alive.
Yeah.